Okay, we're learning the halachas of being down the kavschus, of giving somebody a benefit of the doubt, and we're going to try to finish that inyan tonight, so that Mitzvah, the next month, we'll be able to begin to work on divrei chizuk and more of the machshava and ischazkus that we all need so much in this area. Tremendous ischazkus. But first you have to know a little bit what the halachas are. You have to really know a lot about the halachas, but at least that we have some idea, and it's not stam. Most of us, when it comes to mitzvahs ben Ramah Haver, we just sort of think, you know, I really should try to be a nice person. There are halachas in these areas, just like you have halachas in Hilchos Shabbos and everything else, there are halachas. So we have to try to know what the halachas are. One of the greatest questions when it comes to this whole inyan is really something that's not found clearly in the Gemara. It's not found clearly in Shulchan Aruch, and it really probably comes up more than anything else. The question of whether or not of a situation when something is not actually an aveira. Until now, we were talking about somebody seems to have done an aveira, a sin, and when are you obligated to look at that and to try to put a positive spin on it? It wasn't really an aveira. When depending upon what kind of person is. We spoke about this last week. Most of the time, the question of being down the chasus, you can come around. Most of the time, the question of being down the chasus is not really in a situation where there is a question of an aveira. It's more likely to happen when you're personally hurt or upset about something by what another person did or didn't do, even though it's not a question of an aveira. Let me give you an example of one of the favorites. The person didn't come to my simcha. You know, you sent the response thing, the cards. Cut him call. You never got back a response. So already you're upset. So now you're gonna have to call. This is already not such a nice thing. It's already not kishmak that the person I answered right away. I answered that I'm coming, and I went. Cut him call. This person never sent back the card. And finally, after I called, the person said something strange like. Like her sister-in-law was having a chasna that night. Something odd. And things like this happen keseder, where it's not a halacha, but, you know, in terms of Hashem, there's no aveira here, where the person is coming and didn't come to the simcha. That's not an aveira. Nevertheless, you care very much about it. And you see it as being a terrible slight against you and your family and so on. So, The question here is whether or not in this situation the mitzvah of the Torah of being l'dan l'kaf schus is an effect, of judging favorably is an effect. I mean, is the person allowed to come to the conclusion, which one often does, that this was intentionally done to hurt me? How could the person have forgotten? How could it have been less in June? L'yayin har, there's so many simchas made June. So there's so many simchas in Bechlal, just Kanayna Hor, there are good things happening. But my wife and I were sitting at a simcha on a Sunday, and the people next to us on the table were saying how beautiful this simcha was that they were at a few days before. And my heart went right down to the floor, because I thought I heard the name, and I said, what simcha was, what bar mitzvah was that? So, it was somebody that we're friends with, or actually used to be friends with. No, they're still friends with us, and they're very wonderful people. So they were. I mean, I think they were okay. We still get along. But you know, the feeling that I had sitting there, and realizing that I just was so tzitomuk, you know, my wife and I with the zmanim and the calendars and the dates, and it got mixed up, and the horrible thought that the person would think that. I mean, even if you say, I forgot, what does that mean? How do you... It's so important. It's their bar mitzvah. It's the most important thing for them. How could you forget? Like, what does that mean? If you care for people, how do you forget? And it was terrible. And you know, I went out right away in the hall and called up, and they were so beautiful and forgiving and nice about it. But inside, I wouldn't blame them for feeling upset. So the question is, whether or not the halachas... Whether or not al pi din, according to halacha, are we obligated to try to work on this, to try to find a schus the schutz, meaning it was certainly it was not intentional, and I've also forgotten. People forget, it happens. Sometimes, you know, you just notice, you didn't remember, you got suffloigen a little bit, you were mixed up. Are you obligated to? Must you work on this to try not to be makpid? Now, I'm not talking about being a nice person, I'm talking about, that's all good and fine, but I'm talking about from the Torah, a halacha. Do you have to work on this? Or can you just be upset and let it cook and tell your husband, I can't believe that she did this or that he did that. So, are you allowed to have hakpada? So, as I said, what's interesting here is that none of the sugyas, none of the discussions in the Gemara and the Rishonim involve situations other than when there was a clear cut, a question of an aveira, of a sin. But here we're not dealing with sins. So, it's very hard to find anywhere a clear statement regarding this. However, Baruch Hashem, the Torah does not abandon us. And I found in the Sefer HaChinuch, which I'm sure you all heard of, the Sefer HaChinuch, which is it's a very basic Sefer on the 613 mitzvahs, by one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Aaron Halevi from Barcelona. The Sefer HaChinuch makes a comment, and then later when I saw that this was brought down by Posek, the Sefer HaChinuch, when discussing the underlying reason for the mitzvah, this mitzvah of judging favorably, the lashon that he uses is the following. Shorish HaMitzvah, you know that the Sefer HaChinuch always discusses the root of the mitzvah. Shorish HaMitzvah, Ladun L'Schus, to judge favorably, who is Dal Yedei Siluk Hachshad, that by removing your suspicion, right, Dal Yedei Siluk Hachshad, that by working, obviously we're not malachim, we can only, Hashem only wants us to do the best we can, but by working to remove that feeling of suspicion, Yovo Sholom Beinehem. Yavo Shalom Beinehem means that peace will be able to be restored between these people. The chinuch is implying that the underlying rationale for this mitzvah bichlal is to try to see to it that there'll be peace between Jews and that there should be positive, good, healthy feelings between one and the other. Similarly, if we go further back in time to Rashi HaKadosh, so Rashi, in the Gemara and Shabbos, on Kuchav Zayin, which I first had the first time, Rashi in the Gemara, over there, also seems to be indicating that. Rashi writes there, the mitoch shemachriyo l'schus leimar, that by the person trying to incline this over to a positive way of seeing it, by doing that, and saying, the person is in effect saying, Rashi writes, lo chata li bazos. What does it mean, lo chata li bazos? It means that he didn't intend to sin against me. It's not lo chata, he didn't sin. Rashi seems to be saying lo chata li. It's not the same thing. Lo chata li means he didn't intend to sin against me by not showing up at the simcha. Anus haya. What does it mean, anus haya? Anus means... It wasn't his fault. He was under duress. Whatever happened, I had a ma'isa that I left for a simcha, and the car broke down. I took it this, I took it there, and I wasn't able to. By the time I wasn't able to get to the simcha, and there wasn't. I don't know what the catering hall to call. I called up the place to say that I'm not going to make it. And never gave them the caterer. Never the new office, whoever that was, never told about simcha, And the person was very upset with me. Because how do I know? Because other people told me how he was. They expected this and that. And I didn't know what to do. I was really stuck in a garage someplace. And it was crazy. But there's on this Haya, Rashi says that when you machvil kavschus, so then you're able to come to the conclusion that the person was on this, that he wanted to come, that he couldn't come. Olatovanis kaveh. The Tovanis Kav means that the intentions were good. So Rashi says, Yesh Sholem Beinehem. This appears to be the source of the Chinuch. Yesh Sholem Beinehem means that when a person tries to have this way of looking at things, to say perhaps he was on, maybe he couldn't help it, or maybe he forgot, or maybe or maybe he wasn't feeling well, whatever it is. So Rashi says that brings to shalom, that brings to peace. So Rashi in the Chinuch Rashi and the Chinuch are both saying that the underlying goal of this mitzvah of judging favorably is to have a state of peace between one Jew and another, which would seem to include things that are ben adam l'chaveiro, even though there's no sin at all. This covers many, many things in life. Many things in life. You know, a person was supposed to pick you up. We're not talking about an aveira. It's an aveira. A person was supposed to pick you up at a certain time. A person's late. This, by the way, applies to husband and wife as well. Some people think that all the mitzvahs of an al-machaveira are only for other people. It's for a husband and wife. So someone's supposed to be, you know, you have a husband supposed to drop you, pick you up someplace. A wife's supposed to, and not on time. And it causes the person to get very upset. So here too, even though we're not dealing with aveiras, someone is late picking you up is not an aveira. You can't find an aveir for that. But to try to be balakav schus, that there was traffic, or there was, or even if you say that a person forgot, so whatever, something came up, or something with one of the kids, or whatever it is. But not to allow one's imagination to get carried away. Lamaisa, the truth of the matter is that most of the times, I think most of the times, even though something begins with an area that doesn't involve any aveiros at all, just a little bit of a bad feeling, a kpeda, we're not talking about sins, but you're a little bit annoyed or upset, even though it begins with a kpeda, on something that was not an aveira, most often, I think, it eventually leads to real, starke, clear aveiros in the Torah. But to hear the tables are turned, where that person didn't do any aveira by maybe misplacing an invitation, or getting stuck in traffic, that wasn't an aveira. And in the beginning you had a little bit of hakpada, how could that be? So now what do you do with this hakpada? So you turn to the one that you love and you say, could you believe that they did that? I can't believe they did it. So now you're already getting into what? You're getting into Lashon Hara, you're getting into Rechilas. You're getting into Sinas Chinen, and I'm not going to invite them to the next Simchas Nach Nekama. They're good for nothing, but I'm going to invite them to teach them a lesson. That's called Lesit, that's Netira. You know, there's a long list of terrible aveiros ben adam l'chaveiro that can result, especially lo sisna. The most common is you bear a grudge, and as we learned last time, instead of talking it out, which would remove the aveira of hating someone by discussing it and saying that I was really upset, but we want to show that we're very chashuv of people, with tzaddikim, we're not so small. We're not so small, petty people. It doesn't bother us if someone didn't come to the simcha. I'm a very chashuv of a person. And so therefore, you don't want to call and say, listen, I really feel a little bit slighted, I'd like to talk about it. In which case, if you did that, that would be fine. Because then you'd find out the truth of why the person didn't come. And also, you would not be violating the issue of losisna, despising a Jew. We're going to learn all the halachos of losisna and mitzvah in the future. So once I get it off my chest, then I'm not violating the issue of losisna. But since you don't want to look like you're some sort of a dope, you know, that like it bothers you, such unimportant things, and of course, why should it bother you? So you don't call, and then you could bear a grudge, and you can get into that horrible domain of lasisna, of despising, which could sit with a person for many, many, God forbid, for many years. So even though something began initially as being just like what we call a kpeda, it's a word, a kpeda, a makbid, a little bit of a kpeda. So it's not aveiros, and we're not dealing with aveiros, but, you know, I remember my kids had a book, a mitzvah tree that grows. You know how one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, and it's beautiful. By the end of the day, like the kid has like so many mitzvahs. He didn't want to do this, but then one mitzvah led to the other mitzvah grows mitzvah. So this is like an aveira tree that grows. Hashem Yirachem. That's what it is when it comes to kapedus. If you don't take care of it immediately, if you don't resolve it, then it just descends into ugly things, into terrible things. So even though we don't find in the Gemara a clear discussion of this subject, but it's fair to say that unless you take care of it, the kapeid is going to end up being involving machlokas and sinna and lashon hara and so on. So it's safe to say that you are chayiv according to chachamim, you are chayiv to give somebody the benefit of the doubt, and this is much more common than when it comes to regular aveiros. And each person in his or her own life, you know, you have kiseder, how people, we'll talk about this a little bit more in a few minutes, how people will judge the parenting skills or lack of parenting skills of somebody else. And you know, you just make a little bit of a comment, and not even, okay, even if it's not lashon hara, so you don't say it to anybody, you don't talk about it, but you have a different mahalach in your family, you have a different way of talking to the kids, you have a different way of whatever, of dressing them, or whatever it is, could be the smallest thing, whatever, of a choice of school, and you're thinking about how could the person have chosen that place, and how could they send their kids there, in that camp, or that school, or look how they dress the kids, and so on. So, these thoughts, and you're not thinking about any aveira, it's not an aveira. So in other words, your thought is that they should have sent to this yeshiva and they sent to that yeshiva. Okay, that's not an aveira. You're not saying that the person sinned by going to this yeshiva as opposed to that yeshiva. So it's tamen kpeidim. It's tamen negative thing. But very often, it leads to much more negative things into lashon hara, into v'chilas. So therefore, it's important to try to be down the cuff schus and to say, look, if they sent to that yeshiva, they probably know something about the yeshiva that I don't. Also, they have a different background and they thought it would be, or their child is different than my child and they thought it would be a better thing for their child. Whatever it is, it's not your union to look into it. Now, in halacha, there's a distinction that's made between schus she'eino gomer and schus gomer. Schus she'eino gomer, let me explain what that means. Incomplete schus. In other words, you're down the kaf schus, but it's not a complete positive thing. It's called a schus she'eino gomer. What is schus she'eino gomer? Shalom Marshall. We spoke about this a little bit. You know for a fact that this person did an aveira. There's nothing to talk about. I mean, you know 100% this is an aveira. It's not like you heard it, you saw it, and it's clear. So it's not a question about whether the aveira took place. So a schus she'eino gomer, which we discussed a little bit just like by way of introduction last time, schus she'eino gomer would mean to try to diminish in your eyes the severity of the sin. And of course, that would be by first saying, even though that person did this aveira, it wasn't lahachis. It's not that the person is trying to go against the Torah or wants to do aveiras. So the first thing is, schus she'eino gomer means that even though in this situation I don't feel that I could come up with a positive spin on the whole act to say that it was never an aveira, it's very hard to say it looks like it was mamish an aveira and I was there, I saw it. Nevertheless, that doesn't mean that now that you know for sure that it's an aveira, that you're no longer obligated according to the Torah to at least be done l'kav schus she'eino gomer. Incomplete schus means not that this was, not to say it wasn't an aveir, it was talking aveir. It was an aveir. What am I going to do? It was an aveir. But, as we spoke about last time, I don't believe that this person did it lahachis. The Gemara tells us in Gittin, the Gemara says that there was a certain person that was eating non-kosher food, that he was eating the velas, and Rav Ami, in the Gemara, Rav Ami saw this. Rav Ami saw, and Rav Ami said, certainly he's just a Baal Taiva. In other words, he's not eating it because he doesn't believe in God or he's trying to go against the Torah. His Taiva for the food got the better of him, but it's not like he would lahachis that he wants to eat nevelas at Treifas. He's not such a person to eat nevelas at Treifas. We see this in a number of places in the Gemara. Another example, a very interesting example of this in the Gemara, is in the beginning of Tanz Nafdalim. The Gemara says a very fascinating thing. Hai tzurba mi rabbanan derosach. Sometimes you'll see a Talmud Chacham derosach. What does it mean, ratach? Rosach means boiling. In other words, you see a Talmud Chacham that loses his temper. Something, you see a Talmud Chacham, and you're very surprised by that. You see a Talmud Chacham that like loses it. So the Gemara says, Hai tzurba mi rabbanan derosach araisahu de kamaraschalei, which means a Talmud Chacham that if you see a Talmud Chacham losing his temper, it's because what? The fire of Torah is burning inside of him. What does that mean? That's what's burning. Rashi says, Sheyesh lo rochav lev mitoich taroso, that because of his study of Torah, he takes things very much to heart. He takes things, he's very intense. I guess that's how we would say it nowadays. There's a great intensity there. He takes things to heart more than other people. You know, I remember it's a famous thing that they once asked the Satmar Rav, why does he have to scream so much about the thing, not about particular Jews, he never said about particular Jews, but about Chil Shabbos and about people not being dressed modestly. The Satmar Rav was always screaming. He was very strong. So they asked Satmar Rav. So the Satmar Rav said that without going into the whole medrash that I'm sure you're familiar with, but that there were different advisors that Paro had. There were different advisors that Paro had, and based upon the advice that they gave him or didn't give him, that was their punishment. So Eov was one of Paro's advisors, and Paro asked, "What should I do with the Jews?" Right? Or with Moshe, with the Jews. I mean, with the not with Moshe Rabbeinu, but with the Jewish people. Bechlal, what should I do with him? So Eov, you remember, was silent. And he, in other words, he didn't advise Paro in a good way, to be good to the Jews or leave them alone. He was silent. So he thought the best thing would be not to say anything. So Chazal said he was punished with terrible suffering. Eov had terrible suffering. He lost his family, lost everything. He's terrible tsaros. So the Samurai said, why was he, what did he do? He didn't do anything, but he didn't say anything. So the Samurai says, because when something hurts you, if it really hurts you, you can't help but scream. So even though it's true, so the Gemara is saying that you see, you know, people like us, so if we see Chilul Shabbos, so then it doesn't hurt, it might not hurt us that much. So then we're very, very big tzaddikim, and we say, okay, it's all right, you can listen, it's not his fault, what are you going to do? When we walk in the streets of Eretz Yisrael, we see on Shabbos, cars going, God forbid, we see Shabbos, Tel Aviv, Chilul Shabbos, and there you know whether it's an Arab, because the license plate is different, right? Mm-hmm. Or you know it's a Jew. So you see Chilul Shabbos, so people like us can be big tzaddikim, and we say, no, you know, you're down the Kav Shchus, like, but the tzaddikim, who are really shattered by that experience of seeing Chilul Shabbos by Jews. So the Gemara says that the Talmud Chacham, the Torah is burning inside, and therefore if you see a Talmud Chacham that gets very angry about something, so it's because of the Torah that he learns, even though it might not be at that moment an Indian that's related to the study of Torah or to a particular mitzvah. So therefore we see that there is a mitzvah whenever possible to try to lessen the aveira. So even though, okay, I understand the Talmud Chacham yelled and the Talmud Chacham shouldn't do that. Nobody should do that. And he lost his temper. It's an aveira to scream at someone. However, I should try at least to understand that the Talmud Chacham is a very intense person. The Talmud Chacham is a very, very intense person by nature. And so too, if you have a friend that's very intense by nature and, you know, takes things very, very much to heart. So also, this is being done l'kav schus, but it's a schus sha'eino gomer. This is not the ideal thing. The ideal thing is that once you try to be done l'kav schus, that it should be a schus gomer. And a schus gomer means it's better to completely exonerate the person, if possible, to try to find a way to exonerate the person entirely, not just to say, well, what do you want? The background is not such a good background. Or, you know, he didn't learn, he doesn't know. Well, this is the person's nature from the time that, you know, from the time that I know her or him. There's a certain nature. That is not the ideal way to fulfill the mitzvah of being down the kav schus. Sometimes you have no choice. But whenever possible, the din is that you must try to begin with to exonerate the individual altogether. As we learned, as we were talking about last time, to try to see it completely that it should be a schus gomer. Now here, another important halacha regarding children. Regarding little ones, the question is discussed in the Poskim, the Chabas Chaim, and others for him. And are we obligated to judge a child l'kav schus? Children, our own other children, are you obligated to judge a child l'kav schus? One thing is certain, as I said before, that if you see a child that's a little bit mischievous, or a child that's doing something that you don't agree with or you don't like, it certainly is absolutely forbidden, 100% according to halacha, to judge the parents l'kav chayva or the Rebbe. No question. This happens all of the time. All the time. I had to hear something like that today that upset me very much, from somebody who was saying about children. About someone else's children. To use such a strong lashon about Jewish children that it was terrible to say. And it was saying about the parents. The parents, well, don't take care. And it's like, you know. That's Nisa Daraisa. That's forbidden from the Torah to say that about parents, that you see a kid. You see a kid that's like, you know, running around, there's some kid like hanging on the chandelier or something, and jumping off the, you know, and jumping into somebody's backyard, or whatever it is. So the most natural reaction to that would be, like, kids, you know, it's must, what kind of home do they come, what is this? What kind of an upbringing is this? What kind of a kid, what kind of a person, what kind of people are this? And then you move from the parents, then you try to bring the Rebbe into this, or the teacher, right? What kind of, What kind of yeshiva does he go to? I've heard people say, okay, like the yeshiva, the whole yeshiva. It's like, you know, because this kid is like playing in someone else's backyard, he shouldn't do it. The kid is making too much noise, he woke up this. The kid was chutzpahdik to somebody, an older person was there, and he pushed ahead of it. Right away, the whole mishpacha, the parents are no good, the grandparents are no good, all the way till Avraham Avinu. And that's no question. Take it to heart. Every time that one does that, it's an isdaraisa to say something, and the thought is one that you are obligated, according to the Torah, to dispel from your heart, not to cast aspersions upon parents or teachers or yeshivas. Now, what about the child? What about the child? Am I chayav to down the child of kafschus or not? So here, let me explain what the problem is in halacha. Why is this a little bit complicated? The Chafetz Chaim discussed the inyan of speaking lashon hara about a child. So there, the Chafetz Chaim says the Torah tells us, "Lo selech rachil ba'amecha," you may not speak rachilus lashon hara against your people, your nation. And the Chafetz Chaim proves that according to halacha, a child is certainly included in that category of what? Amecha. A child is part of Klal Yisrael. He said, right, a child is a yid, so he's part of Klal Yisrael. So the Chafetz Chaim therefore came to the conclusion that it is forbidden to speak lashon hara about a child, to say anything that would be in the category of lashon hara against a child. So the question is now regarding a mitzvah of judging favorably. So the Torah says, "Betzedek tishpot amisecha," to judge righteously your friend or your colleague, your companion, amisecha. So the question is. Is a child in that category? We know that he's called a Jew, obviously, and the child is part of Klal Yisrael, but as far as Amisecha, it sounds more like it's talking about one's peer, which would imply that maybe it's talking about a Gadol. The other side of the Sufik is that maybe when I'm saying something, which is when I think something negative about a child, it's really not being down the Kaf Chayva. Why? So let's say that kid was playing in someone else's yard, or the kid was making a lot of noise and bothering you or bothering people. So when you're upset about that, or you think negatively about the child, it's not that you're attributing any sin to the kid. What you're saying in effect is that he's childish and immature and acting up. No intelligent adult and no decent adult would say that a child that is making a commotion, or a child that's a little bit of a, that was chutzpahdik, that the child is a sinner. A sin? Chanaveira? First of all, the child is not chayv, we're talking about beneath bar mitzvah, right? We're talking about a little one. So, being down the kaf chayv means that I am assuming that this person has done an aveira. First of all, little ones beneath the age of bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah are not chayv mitzvahs, right? They're not obligated to mitzvahs, and they're not punishable for anything that they've done wrong. So you could perhaps say that when it comes to a child, there is no problem of me down the kaf chayv, because I'm not really nailing the kid with a sin. I'm just saying that he's a baby, he's a nudge, he's annoying, he's immature. But I'm not saying that he's a chayte, that he's a rashi, God forbid, or that he's evil, or he's done some sin. He's a child. So lemaisa, what's the din? The Chafetz Chaim, in a number of places, warns about. Even though it's not clear, he says that you could say like this and you could say like that. Nevertheless, the Chafetz Chaim says that since we have a doubt over here and it's involving a possible daraisa, something that's from the Torah, we should be strict, and we should try always to judge a child also. L'kaf schus. You should try to judge a child, it means your own also. To judge a child, l'kaf schus, and not l'kaf chayva. And the Chafetz Chaim says that if you don't do that, then very often what happens is you end up talking to the child in a cruel way, or an irresponsible way, or doing something that's not proper to discipline the child. And that could, again, that could lead to many avayos. That could lead to many, many avayos. It certainly is forbidden to hate a child, if it's possible to, but to hate a child, chalila. And this is, and even the hardest avoda when it comes to this is certainly with one's own child. I mean, I'm not going to go into that right now. That's a separate inyan. But really with one's own child, Because there you've come to the conclusion that you know your child inside out. When it comes to other children, you could find an interesting way to be down the kafsus, and you could put things in a positive light. But when it comes to your own kid, you say, oh no, don't tell me that he's really good. I know better. Don't tell me that she really meant it in a different way. Don't. I understand. I know my kid 100%. So there's a mitzvah to be done with one's own child and other children as well. Now, to come back to something that was discussed a little bit, but I just want to clarify it. We spoke a little bit about different types of Jews. And it's important to just clarify something that maybe I wasn't clear enough about last time. There are certain averes the Chofetz Chaim said that Jews, bechlal, even Jews who are not religious, Jews, because of a certain higher moral standard that we have hopefully held on to, that even somebody who's not particularly scrupulous, let's say, when it comes to Shabbos or other things, but when it comes, for instance, to Gilui Arayos, when it comes to adultery, Chofetz Chaim said so, if there's a person who, if there's a person who's chas v'chalila, someone that's being unfaithful, a man that's being unfaithful to his wife, God forbid, Hashem Yirachem, a woman that's being unfaithful to her husband. So, the Chofetz Chaim discusses whether or not do I need to be done as the kaf schus? Should I judge this in a favorable way? Well, as I could say, maybe, you know, the marriage is not good, and this is such a brochen, and whatever, so what do you want from a guy, what do you want from the girl, the wife, and it's a brochen, lonely, you know. Whatever they say in the street, in the Welt, in the television, you know. I mean, the television says it's a mitzvah to do those things. But is there an inyan being done the kafsus? Chofetz Chaim says, absolutely not. There is no mitzvah to don the kafsus, because he says it's not a question of whether that person went to this yeshiva or that yeshiva, went to Beis Yaakov, went to Central, or went to this place or that place. There's no nafkin in it. He says the Jewish people are an am kodesh v'tahar, and even if you weren't taught in yeshiva, you know that marriage, Jews understand that marriage is a serious matter, and if somebody is committing adultery, so the Chofetz Chaim says that yotze mechlal am yisach, he's no longer in the category, or she is no longer in the category of am yisach, of your friend or your peer, your colleague, so to speak, and you're allowed to judge the person lekaf chayva. You do not have to try to put a positive spin on him. The Chofetz Chaim says that despite this, you must remember, and this is the catch, you must remember that even though you are allowed, let's say, to say the truth about this person, you are allowed, Chofetz Chaim says, that's only to warn other people, or that's only to strengthen, let's say, the Yiddishkeit in someone else that's weak, or the resolve in someone else, or maybe to even help the spouse in some way, whatever it might be. It has to be for a toelis. Toelis means that there's a positive benefit that you feel, or you ask someone that you and you've come to the conclusion that this would be a toelis. But you're not stam allowed to talk about the person. In other words, the fact that you're not obligated to judge this person in a positive way, that doesn't entitle you to go around yentering about him or her, and to make this a conversation piece, in the bagel shop or the pizza shop or wherever it is that you might relax a little bit. You're not entitled to use this as a way of venting your hatred, God forbid, your anger for another Jew. And the Chofetz Chaim explained this at length, that even though here the issur, the prohibition of lo sisna, of not despising, of not hating, is not in effect, nevertheless, you're not allowed to hate that person, as we spoke about a little bit last time, as the person bechlal. You are only allowed to be angry, to be upset because of the aveira. And as the aveira hurts you, that's very hard. It's very hard to be on such a madrega. Because if it would be somebody else that you really care for, you might be more forgiving. But if it's someone that you don't care for so much, then all of a sudden you become a big tzaddik. Therefore, you have to keep in mind that even though the Chofetz Chaim says that you don't have to judge this person in a positive way, that's true. But in terms of saying things, or going around talking about this person, who God forbid is being unfaithful, talking about such a thing, Chofetz Chaim said, only if it's a toelis, only if it's to help save someone or to protect somebody in some way, but not if it's something which is coming because of your own personal grudge or your own personal hatred, or that you're angry. It's only the inyan of the aveira. So even there, it doesn't mean that one cannot, are you to diminish the aveira in some way to try to be melamed chusam Jews, as I spoke about last time, the tzaddikim are always trying to find a Pesach to say something good about Jews. But that can't mean that a person should be let to be complacent and to be overly tolerant when it comes to something which is destroying the fabric of Klal Yisrael. And something like that, something, God forbid, like that, that type of an aveira is something which destroys the whole metzias of the Jewish people of Klal Yisrael. Very often you have, when it comes to different kinds of aveiras, you see, it might have been that the Chavetz, this concept of the Chavetz Chaim might have applied, you know, in earlier times, it probably applied to kashrus and Shabbos as well. That every Jew knew that you can't eat a piece of chazer, you can't eat chametz on Pesach. You know, I remember that years ago, I was with the kids. We went to Manhattan and Chalamoy Pesach is the family, and there were people that were eating. They were eating tarfis in a trefer restaurant with matzah. They're eating matzah, and I was unbelievably moved by that. And the kids were going crazy. It's chametz. And I told the kids, Mikamch Yisrael. Can you imagine that the Yid still remembers that there's an Indian of Pesach, and to try to eat a piece of matzah on Pesach? Yeah, someone's sitting eating chazer with matzah to tell. I mean, but why that is? I've spoken many times Pesach time about what the Indian of, why is that the davka matzah is, you know, to have a seder of some sort, whatever that means, even if it means just a family get together. But besides, I'm not going into the chesidus, not hashkafa. But mikamch Yisrael, to try to, years ago it was very hard to say such a thing, because in Europe, or certainly in the Swadesh countries, if there's a Jew that's eating tarfis, it was like nowadays somebody that's committing adultery. It was so unheard of. It was so outrageous that a Jew should eat chametz, eat not kosher. I'm talking about in the old days, it was outrageous. Those people usually left the community. They didn't stick around in the community. They left. So my father says that he came out as, you know, when he was growing up in his place, there was this Chilul Shabbos. Even then, we're only talking about 60, 70 years ago, but to see Chilul Shabbos was a chiddush then. You know, it was odd to see. In the big cities, of course, but in the towns and the villages, it was an odd thing. It wasn't so common. So then you have another category, which nowadays is the most common thing. I just wanted to clarify this, because somebody asked me, somebody called me up, and I want to make it clear that one of the most important ways of being down the Kav Zchus, and we're going to learn about this much more in the next part of our discussion, one of the most important things is by realizing that the person simply doesn't know how serious this aveir is. That's the simplest way. In other words, even if you can't say that it never took place, you see that the person is, you know, doing an aveir. But the person simply, the person doesn't know that it's mamish. The person doesn't really know. You see this by many religious people, for instance. Many religious people are they're Shomer Shabbos people, but they're careless when it comes to Lashon Hara. And they know that there's a Chavetz Chaim, and they heard about it, and the Chavetz Shemis Lashon, but they never really learned the halachas properly, and they don't know. Most people don't realize how serious a thing Lashon Hara is. They don't know. So that's also being done the Kav Zchus. So someone speaks Lashon Hara, so instead of speaking Lashon Hara, that person speaks Lashon Hara. So you should try to, it's very simple to be done Kav Zchus. That person simply does not know this, how serious it is. I'll give you another example, and again, please, anything that I say, I don't mean, I really am always down the Kav Zchus, and I hope you're the same with me. And we all have inyonim that we have to work on, but when it comes to tznius, when it comes to inyonim of tznius, and I teach this to my children all the time, especially when we moved to the neighborhood, it was quite a shocking thing for the girls, that my daughters, you know, we brought them up a certain way, and then we brought them here, and I tell them, well, listen, we have all the notions of konius, all our holy and righteous women here in the neighborhood, and then the first time that we saw one of the ladies from shul passing by, and I stopped to say, how you doing, whatever, and then she was wearing pants, my kids were just like this. You know, they look at it, they couldn't believe it. You know, you know, we had discussions back then, and I still with the little ones now. You know, I talk about it. So of course I explained, and this is exactly what I'm saying. This is, that person, that individual, if that person would understand the halacha properly, would have learned and would have been taught properly. Most of the women in the yeshivas, it's fair to say, were not really told what sneeze is about. They were smacked over the head with sneeze. For most women, when they hear the word sneeze, they start trembling and turning colors. And certainly if a man ever speaks about it, you don't hear me usually talking about it. Because it's such a negative thing connected to the word sneeze that comes from, where does that come from? It comes from the fact that mostly women were not given over the tmimius of what sneeze is. It was just cover up this, cover up that. Men are animals, and you have to prevent them, and it's your job to prevent them from attacking or something. And it's just a very demeaning. It has so many demeaning and negative associations. So I look at it this way, and I tell my kids, I myself was raised in a modern Orthodox community, and my mother until 15 years ago was wearing pants, and I grew up with that, and I know that these people are wonderful, wonderful, caring, sincere Jews, but they don't understand, and it's not because of stupidity, God forbid, they don't know that it's mamish. How many times people have told me that they think that covering the hair is like chassidus shazach? It's in Shulchan Aruch. It's not chassidus to cover the hair. It's in Shulchan Aruch. So how come there's so many wonderful, wonderful women that they don't? How come? So I tell the kids, and it's the same that we always have to look at things this way. If that person would understand how important it is and how serious an inyan it is and how it is in Shulchan Aruch, and they would really work through the inyan, but because there's something that came from that was negative or that wasn't properly taught, and there's a resistance, and there are so many things in this whole topic of tznius that I can't even talk about because I'm afraid you're not going to ever talk to me again. but if you really believe me that I don't have any negative thoughts about it, I have only really I'm always the kafsos, and as I said, I do so many things wrong in my life, and I hope that you'll be done milakavskos. But this is an inyan that for women is a very big milchama. It's such a hard milchama, and I've told, this is from someplace else. I was giving to about the wife that he wants it to wear davke. He's a svadish, so he wants a davke to wear like the whole thing. A whole like babushka. You know what I'm talking about. So he's a svadish, like a kanoya svad, the real svad. So I said, she wants to wear a shaitl and look pretty, so I said, let her go in a shaitl. So he says to me, Rabbi Avad, you'll see, he starts giving me, I know all the chachamim, and I know what they say. So I said, look, what are you hacking? Did you ever wear one of those shmatas on your head? What do you mean, you want to, and you know what it feels like for a woman to feel, a woman that she feels that she's not attractive or that it looks a certain way? So that's the muhus of a woman to feel good about it. And since there was tzaddikim, they said that she could wear it. So leave her alone, it's a Jewish, don't get involved, it's not the chalal that you should get involved. You have, the same. You have some of these men that they have to, every time if a wife wants to buy a couch, they have to come along, or if a wife wants to buy a dress, this is just in parentheses. It's not going to get it. I thought I would get it in. I'm always in the spoil from this. Like, why would he bechlal care? Just anything that she gets, you should say it's nice, and then that's all. You leave me alone. And that's not gay to you. The Gemara says that nizan yonim. You should let them do whatever they want and finish. You just write the check or the credit. You give the credit card and you keep quiet. There's nothing to talk about. So in this Indian of tznius, it's the same thing when I speak to my kids about that we're going down Central Avenue, and they'll see a sweet little Jewish boy, I'm talking about like 17, 18, with his arm around a sweet little Jewish girl, about 16, and again the kids, that look, like, what is that? So first, so my little one, Shifi, will say, oh, they must be married. Then the other one will say, no, she doesn't cover her hair. And like, these are the conversations in the car, And like, what's going on? So what? The chalal, come on, those kids understand, do they know? So you're going to say they do know, because what? Because some rabbi yelled at them that you're a Rosh, you're a Shegid, it's not because, right? That means that the kid knows. The kid doesn't know, and he doesn't understand. Who explained to him? What does it mean to be? What's kedusha? What does it mean to be holy? Why he doesn't see that there's something wrong with it? He doesn't know that there's anything b'chlal wrong with it. So avada, you have to try. This is the most important avada. We're going to talk about it much more in chassidus, but it's such an avada to try to realize that person pasha doesn't The person pashut doesn't understand that it's such a serious matter. I think most women who are raised in the more modern type of schools, they don't think that having the hair uncovered is an aveira. They push, and if you show them inside, and you show them the mission, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, they'll still think it's some sort of a chumrah that the rabbis came up with, like a strict. And how do you get past that barrier? That's not my opinion. I don't talk about it, the rabbin. I obviously feel comfortable enough to tell you to be honest with you. But at the same time, there's nothing. It's very hard to climb into someone's mind and someone's heart and to try to uproot 20, 30 years of negative conditioning of that dirty word sneeze. And how do you get that out of the system, the chalal? How do you get that out of the system that they should see that sneeze is something which is so beautiful and such malchus and such dignity and so respectful, and how it makes a person more beautiful and it's so becoming for basma. All of these things that when it's taught in the proper way, which I'm worried about because in the schools I don't know how the girls are being taught, and you know, I know that when I taught girls in high school, so I did for many years, and you could speak to my students about this, that I davka spent 6 months on this inyan with the senior girls. 6 months on the inyan of Malchus and what it means in Basi. So I never once spoke about them. I never spoke about the hair being covered or the knees. And I just spoke about Malchus and what's Basi Yisrael, and what it means, what's Kedusha, and what's beauty, what does it mean to be beautiful. But it's a very hard sugya. But therefore the mitzvah here is that, look, it's obviously it's ridiculous for me to say, am I going to be down the kav schus, this woman? Oh, probably she wears a shaitel. It must have blown off. You know, we had this funny mice in the parking lot. You know, my wife had a mice like that. And we were all, the whole family was chasing after the shaitel. It was by, not a Costco, the next, the mall over there. I remember there was by the drugs, there was a big wind. And oh, you scream, we're all chasing. You know how it goes, like, you know, you couldn't get it. It was mom was running through the whole parking lot. All of us, the kids, myself, and my wife. So what am I going to say? Every time you see a woman with a hair cut, you're going to say that it blew off. It's an Irish guy. I'm going to say, what's she doing wearing pants? Oh, must be, she thought it was a skirt. I don't know. It's ridiculous. So how do we down the kav schus? The down the kav schus is that's going to fall the woman. I told my kids that when we first came here, they said something about a woman that they saw with the pants. And I said, do you know that this woman stays up the whole Thursday night with Tomchen Shabbos? Do you do them? You stay up a whole night preparing food for poor people? The whole Thursday night, this lady's in Farakwa with Tomchen Shabbos. No. So it's tzedekis. It's a kedusha to her mamish. It's tzedekis. So the inyan of the levush, the inyan of dressing, it's not something that it's an inyan that mostly they don't, that most people don't realize that it's a serious, you know, that it's such a serious matter. What about a person who's a baal tshuva? Meaning that that this person is now religious. And you hear things, there are stories that are still circulating about his or her past. So I think that it's quite obvious that it is absolutely forbidden to discuss, you know that, to discuss the past of that person, or to entertain conversations about, oh, look how religious he is. I remember before he was religious. This is, you're not allowed to talk about these things. You're not allowed to say, not about somebody who converted. I remember when he wasn't Jewish, she wasn't Jewish. I remember him before he became religious. Nevertheless, the Chofetz Chaim says that I obviously don't have to judge the person l'kach chayver retroactively to say that those aveiros that he did were not aveiros. What I do have to say is that I'm not allowed to talk about that. It's ridiculous. He's a baal tshuva and Hashem has forgiven him, and that's not my business to talk about what he used to do. But I don't have to say that those weren't aveiros. He's a baal tshuva. They were aveiros. So you know, whatever it was, you know, he was. You know, surfing and listening to Beach Boys music in the 60s with his girlfriend, whatever it might be. So I don't have to make up a story. No, he was just looking for something he lost in the ocean. She was helping him look for it or something. I don't have to say crazy things. But the person wasn't from. No, it wasn't from. So finish that. Parish is done. And he did tshuva. She did tshuva. So I'm not talking about it anymore. Now here, very, very important. The Rambam, makes a distinction between somebody that I know personally and somebody who is a stranger to me. Listen carefully. The Rambam says that mitzan hadin, strictly speaking from the Torah, this mitzvah to judge favorably is with somebody who I know, not a total stranger. It's with somebody that I know. And who I know and I therefore should be Mlamitzchus and can be Mlamitzchus. However, the Rambam says, even though the Torah does not obligate you to see, to try to say something, or to try to put a positive spin on a stranger's actions, still the Rambam says it's a midas chassidus. It certainly is the way of the Jewish people, and it's righteous Jews do this, and every one of us should try to be down the kaf schus. Now, why would there be such a distinction? So, the reason for that is because in the Gemara, the Braisa actually, that's brought down in the Gemara, says, have you done es chavercha lekaf schus? That's where it comes from. You should judge your friend in a positive way. And the Torah says, amisech also means a friend or a colleague. So because of that, strictly speaking, it's regarding somebody that you know. However, in Pirkei Avos, you remember it, there does not say your friend, there it says, have you done es kol ha'adam lekaf schus? Kol ha'adam doesn't say your friend. It says it's kol ha'adam. Therefore, there are those who say, based upon that Mishnah, that it means even someone that you don't know, a stranger that you're, somebody said about this person that you don't even know who it is, that you're chayv. The Rambam doesn't say. The Rambam says it really is from the Torah. It's only if it's chav, it's someone that you know. It doesn't mean your best friend, but it's someone you know. But if it's someone that you don't know, the Rambam says it's just a midas chassidus. It's preferable that you try to. It's preferable that you try, if there's a way to see it in a positive way, to try to put a positive spin on it. So the Rambam says that it's a midas chassidus to do that. Another thing where there are many, many mistakes made in this area is regarding a group of people. We're going to talk about that also, Mitzvah, next time. But here, just the halacha. What happens if you know that there's one person from a, you don't know who the person is, but somebody from a group has done something terrible. Somebody from this community, somebody from that shul, somebody from that group of parents. There's something that came from that chevra. But you don't know who. So the question is, am I mechuyev to try to put a positive spin on what happened, even though I'm not saying that it's this person or that person? I just said it came from that chevra. So here, the poskim say the following. They say, if the chevra is a big enough group of people, that by my having a negative thought about some unnamed person, it will not cast aspersions on upon the entire group. In other words, it's a large chevra. So beside it, there's one person out of chevra that wrote something or said something that came out. So I understand that there's one person. I don't have to judge in a positive way. There's one person that's a negative, destructive person. That's all. But the chevra's a nice chevra, you know, because it's a big enough chevra that even if I have a negative thought and I reach a negative conclusion about that one individual, it doesn't destroy the whole chevra in my eyes. It's still a nice chevra. There's just somebody there that made trouble, but I don't have a different way of looking at the chevra. However, if it's not that way, in other words, if it's a small enough chevra, it's a little group or a little place, and by having this negative approach towards one individual, it affects your way of looking at that group, at that chevra. So here, the Chafetz Chaim says, it's the mitzvah of the Torah, b'tzedek tishpat ha'misrecha. You have the mitzvah of the bidan ha'kav schus, so you should not have a negative way of looking at that chevra. And here, the Chafetz Chaim wrote very, very strong words. The Chafetz Chaim says that it's a terrible aveira to look down upon a Jew and to judge him in a negative way, infinitely more so to look down upon a group of Jews. The Chafetz Chaim says that, I don't want to even say over the Lashonis, but the Chafetz Chaim says that to do such a thing, to judge a group in a negative way, to say whatever, you know, the Chassidim are like this, or the Svadim are like that, or the Litvish are like this, or to say that, you know, this yeshiva, or this shul, to say on a whole shul of people, or to say on a tzibur of Jews, to say in a community of Jews, and to put them all in one thing, to say something negative, or to say, to think, and not to be down the kav schus. When there's a tzibur of Jews, the Chafetz Chaim says, you're not allowed to even remain in a suffix about that group. A suffix means you can't even allow yourself to have doubts about a group of Jews. When it comes to an individual, no, I have to try to judge favorably, and if I can't, at least so it's in my mind, it's like 50-50, as we spoke about last time. Chafetz Chaim says, you can't do that with a shul, you can't do that with a yeshiva, you can't do that with a chevra. When it comes to a tzibur of Jews, a community of people, someone was telling me the other day about a certain group of Jews, and such shyness. And I said, how do you talk about the whole, these are the community of thousands of Jews, and you say like to say such a thing? You have people, as I mentioned the first time, people talk about, people say things, they're entitled to say things about Chabad, to say shyness about Chabad Chassidim, about a whole Chassidus. Except, of course, if they're out of town and they need a kosher meal. Then all of a sudden, no, the Lubavitchers are so nice. But to say you have people that went to yeshivas and they say that Chabad l'shoimis of the region, why? Because they heard, because there's an Adam Gobel that looks down upon Lubavitch, the Lubavitchers and Meshichas, all this stuff. And it has nothing to do with messianic stuff that you're saying negative things. It doesn't burn in you that there are a couple of Jews that they think that the Lubavitcher was Mashiach. That's not what's hurting you so much. We're not such ideologues that it bothers us. It's, whether it's good or it's bad, that's not what I'm talking about. But to say I'm Chabad Hasidim, and holy Jews that are Moshe Nefesh Klal Yisrael, and people that will go to the corners of the earth to help Jews, to say I'm whole Chabad Hasidim. Okay, people say this. Say on some will say on the Persians, on the Iraqis, on the Bukharians, on this Chasidim, or those the Lipshitz. This Mechlan is a very, very dangerous thing to say in a tzibur of Jews, to say in a whole tzibur of Jews. And the Chavos Chaim says Hashem doesn't forgive such things. Hashem Poshet does not forgive such things. To say on a group of his children, on a whole tzibur of Jews, and with one word. With one word, someone just said the whole Chabad. I see. I hear this all the time. The whole Chabad. Have a kid, one of my students. The first day he was in Eretz Yisrael in the yeshiva, he went to Eretz Yisrael to yeshiva. The first day he was there, the yeshiva got up and he made such a chizik of Chabad and about the Rebbe and so on. And this kid called me up crying because he only had Chabad took care of him and raised him. You know? And he heard such negative things about Chabad, like, what is this? And how could a Rashiva talk like that? Why doesn't he just say Torah? What does he have to talk about Chabad? What is it? So I called the Rashiva. I called the Rashiva and I said, you know, in all due respect, I'm not sure this happened. He says, Avad, it did happen. He said, because he used a very strong lashon against Chabad. I said, do you think that it was necessary on the first day of this man to talk about Chabad? They went to Yerushalayim to learn Torah. So he says, 100%. My boys, I want them to know the derech of Torah, and it's not derech of Torah. You know, he's talking about that speech, man. That's nothing to do with Torah and derech of Torah. Torah, you want to say Torah? Say Torah. The whole Chabad Chassidim. You know, these are such terrible things. You have by the modern Orthodox growing up, every satma chos, satma. No satma is no good. See, remember what happened last year? So last year, because there were a couple of guys, they weren't even Sabbath, there was Mishugoyim from the Torah Kartik, they have altogether 20 of them, right, in the world, of that group. And they were marching in Washington, you remember, the terrible Chila Shem Gevalt, there's in all the newspapers that they were marching. So what happened? So you had people that came from the five towns. It started that you shouldn't buy Golden Flow milk, mm-hmm. And you shouldn't buy into boycott Mahadin. Who are these people, Golden Flow milk Mahadin? You know who they are? The Holocaust survivors. They're beautiful, sweet Jews that love Yidden and that would never do such things. But the whole satma, and how many times I saw when I was growing up in the youngest where I lived in my neighborhood, that you'd have a mashulach come in, some guy come in and chamar for money, and the person in front of him said, are you satma? So it's like some alter Yid, you know, like the satma. He wasn't, what's the difference? Nafkin, if you were in Auschwitz, whether you're satma or you're babava, he's coming for hachnosis kala or whatever it is. Are you satma? What kind of thing? On a whole tzibur of Jews, on satma, thousands of chassidim, and the chassidim and the tayvis and the bikkur cholim and what they do for Klai Yisrael. So you don't understand hashkafas. You don't understand hashkafas like this, like that. So I have people tell me, yeah, all the satmas, you know what they do with money, they do this like that. What are you talking about on the tzibur of Jews to say, on thousands of Jews to say such lashonis? How could one even think of such a thing? And the Chavos Chaim says, hey, the Baruch Shalom Amish can't forgive such a thing. To say that tzibur of Jews. So we're going to talk more about this. I just need another 5 minutes. I know it's a little bit late, but because I want to finish the sugya of halacha. All of this does not mean that before something happens that you're not allowed to be nervous and suspicious that this individual might be an unsavory character. What does that mean? So the Gemara tells us that the Medrash says that Rabbi Yeshua, there was a certain guy that came in from the street that needed a place to sleep, and he came knocking on Rabbi Yeshua's door, and Rabbi Yeshua let him in to come as a guest, and he gave him to eat, and he prepared him in the loft, you know, on top. He prepared him a place to sleep. And Rabbi Yeshua took away the ladder from the loft. You know, the only way to get down is with a ladder. So the Medrash says that in the middle of the night, this character was beginning to make his climb down to steal things. He's a ganav. He was a guy from the street. He's a ganav. Rabbi Yishul was smart, and he took away the ladder. So what happened is that the guy fell down and broke his back and was lying on the floor. Rabbi Yishul walked in. Rabbi Yishul walked in. It says in the Medrash this lashon. When he came, he says, "Reika, iata yedaya shem emes hayinu zehirim b'cha." He says, "You empty one. Don't you know that yesterday I was already nervous about you? I already was suspicious of you yesterday. That's why Rabbi Yeshua took away the ladder." And the Medrash says that Rabbi Yeshua, "Amar Rabbi Yeshua, lo'ilum yukol b'nei adam b'enacha kilistim v'havim mechabdim k'rabbi Gamliel." That means that all people should be in your eyes like thieves, but you should honor them like Rabbi Gamliel used to honor his guests. What does that mean? It means what Chazal are telling us here is that this mitzvah being done in Chavsos doesn't mean that you're supposed to be some naive idiot. You could be careful and lock your things and not to let this kind of, you have to be careful and to watch, and this person maybe shouldn't come in. Doesn't mean to be down the kav sus, kaidim ha-maiser, before the maiser, and then the person steals everything, goes. That doesn't mean that. You're allowed to be worried and concerned. You're allowed to be nervous. And if you see something doesn't look right, and being down the kav sus doesn't mean that I have to let this person sleep overnight in my house if I'm afraid that he's going to say something crazy to the kids. He looks like he's nuts or something, and it could cause problems in the field. That's not being down the kav sus. Being down the kavsus means la'acha ma'isa, means after the ma'isa happened. And finally, how does one do tshuva? How does one do tshuva in this aveir? You'll all be relieved to know that you do not have to ask for mechila unless you said something. Just for thinking negative thoughts and judging the person unfavorably, you do not have to speak to anybody, you do not have to talk to anybody and ask for mechila. If you spoke about that individual, lashon hara, and you caused saras, so then the din is that you have to ask for mechila, unless asking for mechila would cause that person to be even more hurt, which is a discussion. It's not for now, but in the Chavos Chaim Yisrael Salanter, because sometimes the person doesn't know that you said anything bad at all. So can you imagine, you're going to go up and say, "Listen, I want to tell you something. For the last 10 years, I'm saying the most horrible stuff about you. I'm really sorry. I hope you're meichel me." So the person's like, "No, I didn't know that. I thought you were my friend." And I ask you for mechila. I've been doing a lot of work over the years. And, you know, that's why you didn't get that job. That's why you didn't get that shidduch. You know, so there is a difference of opinion whether or not in such a situation you need to ask for mechila. So there's a strong school that holds that under those circumstances, that if you would go and ask for mechila, it could just bring up the old stuff and cause more pain, then it's better just to ask the Baruch Shalom that there should be mechila gemura, and that if that person doesn't know, it's better not to say and to leave it, and you don't have to go to that person. And we'll continue with more on the Inyan of Avayd and Chassidus to try to work on it together, to try to become better in this Inyan. Now that we learned a little bit what the Inyan is, that we need to work on it, so I'll start practicing right away.